May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57, it says, thanks be to God who's giving us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 John chapter 5, speaking of us, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And the reality is that Jesus has accomplished victory for us at every place and in every front, and that he ministers that victory to us step by step as we walk in faith in the victory that Christ has accomplished and that Christ is to us. Everything in the Christian life flows from the finished, victorious work of Jesus. We've been talking here at CTK during this Easter season so far, using Song of Solomon chapter 3 as our springboard, and referencing that place in John 16, and celebrating the fact that Jesus has come in his resurrection to take us into him in Christ and to lead us through this fallen world victoriously. And he can do that, and we know that he can do that because of who he is, but also our assurance is that he's already been there. He says he's already overcome the world. That's one of the reasons he said, in this world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I've already been there. And everything that you're ever going to face, I've already faced and conquered. I've already overcome. And so everything that you face is not a surprise to me, whether it's temptation or circumstance, relationship, stress or pressure, whatever it might be. I've already been there. You're now in me. I'm in you. There's this mutual indwelling. Know that I've already been there. I've done it, and I will do it again. I will manifest that victory in all the things that you're going to be facing in your life in the days and years to come. But he didn't just win a glorious victory. His resurrection didn't just represent a glorious victory over everything you and I are going to face in this world. His resurrection also represents a glorious victory over our past. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that if he's not risen from the dead, we're still lost in our sin. That's a significant thing for you and I to remember, because as we are appropriating the victorious Christ and who we are in Christ step by step, one of the things that the enemy uses, one of the dominant themes that the enemy uses to keep us from walking in faith, we overcome the world by our faith, that 1 John says. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Jesus has done it, but we have to appropriate it. We have to rest in it. We have to celebrate it and what he's done. What can keep us from walking in faith is guilt and introspection and condemnation and shame, where we're constantly looking at our past and feeling somehow that we're disqualified from the victorious life that Christ has accomplished for us because of what we've done in the past. The past has a tendency to be like a shadow and follow us everywhere we go. That's why it's so important that we understand the victorious life of Christ doesn't just represent what I'm going to be facing, even today, but what I've already faced and already done in the past. And therefore, I absolutely have no right, you have no right, to ever look at anything that you're about to face apart from who you are in Christ and apart from the victorious Jesus, who says he didn't just win a victory on your behalf. That 1 Corinthians passage says, thanks be to God who is continually giving us that victory through the person Jesus Christ himself. You and I have no right to face a temptation or situation or circumstance without remembering who we're in and who's in us, and that he is our victory in this moment. And therefore, we have no right to ever look at our past apart from seeing it through the victorious lens of Christ. Do you see, everything I face now, because I'm in Christ, I've been placed into His story. Because Christ is in me, He's now been placed into my story. And my story is His story, and His story is my story, and it's a victorious story. Well, my past, He was victorious over that and redeemed that too. And my past is now a part of His story, a part of His victorious story. And if you do anything other, when you're tempted to look at your past, to do anything other than to praise God and celebrate that that's no longer part of your personal story apart from Him, that's in Christ too. And it's now a victorious story. He's redeemed it all. If you do anything other than that, you're wasting time. And you're standing in agreement with the devil, who's always lying. Let me read the scripture to you. This one maybe not quite as familiar, and then one that's very familiar. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, contrasting the sacrifice of Christ and how permanent and effective and perfect the sacrifice was, as opposed to the imperfect and temporary sacrifices of the Old Testament. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, Father." The one who says such things takes away the first sacrificial system in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time in the Old Testament the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering, by one, which was a perfect offering, he has perfected in the eyes of God for all time those who are in Christ. When Jesus paid for your sins, he didn't just pay for your past sins. As a matter of fact, we were in Christ at the cross. And all your sins, from God's perspective, were already done and accomplished, were past sins. He paid for every sin you'll ever pay for, ever commit already. There's provisional forgiveness and victory for every sin you've committed and every sin you'll ever commit. So it's not like I can just look back and go, "Lord, thank you." I don't have to look back at my past through the lenses of guilt, but I can look back and see your glorious victory. But now I've been accumulating new stuff, Lord, since I got saved. It's not new stuff to him. That's why 1 John 1:9, the grammar that it's written in, says this. So hear this. If you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to have already forgiven your sins and to have cleansed you from all unrighteousness. When Jesus said it was finished, he meant it was finished for all time, for all sins, for all time. Even the ones you commit tomorrow, he's forgiven them and redeemed them. But when we come to him in faith and confession, we're appropriating what's already ours provisionally. Isn't it true that 2,000 years ago, when Christ went to the cross, you went to the cross with him? But that didn't become yours experientially until the day you appropriated Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the victory was waiting on you. And so whatever you did that day or this morning or tomorrow, You're able to go to Him, confessing what it is. God doesn't cleanse excuses, only sins confessed as sin. But having confessed it, then you can celebrate once again. Put that into the category of Jesus' story, which is a gloriously victorious story, and not be haunted by it again. So you can live a life of faith. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.